produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
This program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers, 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's
1-310-742-1858. Grace. Peace. Joy, faith, love, Dr. V.
Good evening. Welcome to Love Your Making. This is Dr. V. I'm so glad you joined us today. What an awesome day this is on Thursday. You're on the Josie's Inspirational Network. I am Dr. V, the visionary behind Love Your Making, and I just want to welcome you globally all over the world, wherever you are, to the broadcast. Invite you to pray with us now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, Father. We magnify your name this day. We thank you for being so good to us and so merciful. We thank you that you've given this platform, Love Your Making, as we encourage leader to leader to just submit themselves totally. As the scripture says, we present our bodies living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto you. That is our reasonable service. We thank you for the content of the broadcast today as we delve into the power of hope. Let yours truly, the commentator, and let every ear and heart that's listening now and archive be very blessed. Let their hearts be open to receive what you have, the Spirit, of course, to tell us. And Father, we'll be ever grateful to give your name the glory and the honor and the praise. It's in your Son Jesus' name that we praise you and we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Listen, you know, we only have a precious few minutes, so I want to get after it, okay? I want to encourage you to go quickly with me to Psalm 16, verse 9. Psalm 16, verse 9, it says this, "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope." Then put a pen there and go quickly to Proverbs 23, verse 18, which says, "There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off." Amen. I picked these two scriptures to talk about the power of hope today, because as a Bible instructor, counselor, hospice chaplain, a mentor, preacher, pastor, teacher, all of those things, all those titles means nothing if I do not get this profound teaching of the power of hope. Generating hope. When we look, even if we look over to the book of Job, Job talks about his hope and if his hope is being cut off. And I'm just encouraged today that if we were to be encouraging anyone, whether it's from the pews or from the pulpit or just in our in our homes, in our day-to-day lives, on our jobs, in our businesses, in the government. If hope is not encouraged, if hope is not nourished, then people are going to be so, so discouraged in life. You don't have to go far. You just turn on the television and you hear all the hopeless things that are going on. If you pick up your newspaper, people read newspapers anymore, and you see all the tragedy that's going on, the murders, the domestic violence, the mass shootings, the children are being killed by their parents, and parents are being killed by their children, and husbands are killing wives, and again, people are going into government facilities here in the states and killing randomly, you know, people, and then they kill themselves, so you'll never know why. And so there, everywhere we look, there is cause for hopelessness. If you want to look at the economy, there is cause for hopelessness with tariffs being increased and small to mid-level businessmen wondering if they're going to be able to survive the global economic challenges that we have here in our country and in other countries that's there. And so from a personal, intimate, to an economic, to and for sure a spiritual drought in the world today for hope. And so when I talk to leaders today, I want to talk to you about the power of encouraging others to hope and to maintain their hope. The scripture tells us that hope maketh what? Not ashamed. That's there. And so that we have this hope. The songwriter says it's built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. We dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly what? Lean on Jesus' name. This there. And so that when we think about hope, it is perhaps the greatest gift that you can give another person as a result of nurturing. Because even if people fail to see their own significance, they still have a reason to keep trying and striving to reach their potential in the future. This there. And so that I want leaders to understand that this is a very important role you have to encourage hope in those that you have the power of influence over. One of the greatest leaders can give to those around them what that gift is, and that is the gift of hope. Never underestimate its power. Winston Churchill was once asked by a reporter what his country's greatest weapon was against the Hitler Nazi regime. Without pausing for a moment, he said, "It was what England's greatest weapon has always been, hope." People will continue working, they'll continue struggling and trying if they have hope. Hope lifts people's morale, it improves their self-image, it re-energizes them, it raises their expectations. It is the leader's job to hold hope high, to instill it in it, all hope, as much as they possibly can, in the people that they lead. Our people will have hope only if we give it to them. And we will have hope to give if we maintain what? The right attitude. So I have a friend that her son committed suicide a few months ago, and I've been encouraging her. And, you know, I encourage her for this standpoint. Your son felt like he had no hope. And so he entertained the idea of leaving this world where he felt hopelessness. And so I want to encourage you to keep hope alive, as it were. Really do that in honor of his life, you know. And he left you and your and his father and his sister and his nephew here to wonder. But he did all that he could do. He went to the end of his rope. There was no hope left. So he took his life. And so I encourage her on every point. Listen, stay hopeful. That's there. How do we do that, Dr. V? How does that happen? It sounds too simple sometimes, and we have to take a look at what God requires of us. That's there. Proverbs 3:5-6 says this: Do not, please, listen, don't lean on your own understanding. Because your understanding gets clouded and muddled. But in all your ways, what? Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. But in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will what? Direct your path. And so it sounds very simple. We've said it over and over again for years, but let's have the power of that. God, I trust you. It's dark. I'm confused. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I have no grip. You're going to have to grip me. You know, you're going to have to help me to arrest this thinking that I have, that I should take my life or somebody else's or a whole lot of people, that I should do something that unseemly, that I should give up, that I should walk away, that I should take down. You know, God, help me with that thinking, because that thinking is incongruent to what you think about me, according to Jeremiah 29:11. God says, listen, my thoughts toward you, they are of peace and not evil, to give you a hope and a future that's there. The enemy comes what? To kill, and he comes to steal, and he comes to destroy. And he wants to take your hope away from you, because he know if you hold on to hope, hope will not make you ashamed. If you keep hope alive, then he will not be able to have victory over your life, because you're gripping and you're holding on and you're leaning and you are trusting the wisdom of God. And against God's wisdom, there is no counsel. Amen. And so that when we cast our cares, as the Bible said, cast your cares on me. Why? For I care for you. That's there. And so when we can't see our way out of a paper bag, as they would say, if we can't see our way through the storm, if we can't see our way out of a dark room, if we can't see our way out of a dark situation, God is there to his light, the light of his love, the light of his peace, the light of his word, the light of his word that is sent. When he sends his word, it pierces that dark place in you. Pierce that dark thinking in you. Pierce that dark programming in you that tells you that there is no hope. But yet God said, count those things that are not what? As though they were. I am hopeful. It doesn't appear that I should be. It seems like this is going to go on and on and on and on. But yet I will wait on the Lord. I will be of good courage. I will not take down. Why would I take down when I know that my God has planned a future for me? He has a hope for me that I cannot see, but I trust him. I believe him. I believe him when they say he will never leave me or forsake me. I believe him when he says, I go before you and I make the crooked places straight. I perfect those things that you're concerned about, Dr. V. I will perfect it. I mean, I will bring it to pass. I will straighten it out in the midnight hour. As the songwriter said, I'll turn it around. This there. All the things that God said he would do, then get that word. Hold on to that word, leader, and then what you do for those that you lead is that you take them where you go. You go to the rock. You go to the word. David said, so what? When my spirit is overwhelmed, lead me where? To a rock that is what? Higher. You know, when I was thinking about the broadcast today, I thought about David, and I thought about him, just what I just said, when my spirit is overwhelmed, lead me to a rock that is higher than I, you know, this, that. Why is my soul so disquieting? Why am I so discouraged? Why am I so downtrodden? All those things. David would ask these questions. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. But I want to go to 1 Samuel as an object lesson here to talk about some people that gravitated toward David. And I wonder why, because David was a leader. And he was going through some stuff himself. But these people over in 1 Samuel, the 23rd chapter, these people followed David. And the scripture talks about them in this wise. They said that they were distressed, they were discontent, and they were indebted. And about 400 men began to follow David, and he led them, and he encouraged them, and he built them up, you know. And so in doing so, you know, he created a mighty army. And I'm going like, well, why did they follow him? David was going through some things himself, but David
apparently had the what? Gift of hope. I just believe that. I believe he had the gift of hope. And in hoping, David was able to translate that and to infuse that into those men who followed him, who were discontented, who were distressed, and who were indebted. Amen. And so, again, they became a mighty army under his leadership. I'm just infusing that as my commentary. I believe that based on the story over in 1 Samuel, that David had that gift of just infusing hope in those that associated with him. Amen. I just believe that. And I want to encourage you to believe that too, that you might be a would-be great warrior, but at the time, in certain times in our lives, in certain times in the lives of people that we lead, they may be discontented. They may be distressed. They may be indebted, whether it's from a financial indebtedness or it could be emotional indebtedness or spiritual indebtedness or something relational, you know, that's there. In other words, there is some dis-ease in their lives going on. And so that we find a leader here that is able to lead them in the state that they were in and build them up to, again, they became a mighty army. Amen? Amen. And so my topic of my message today is the power of hope. Well, that may not have touched some of you. Let me go to this place. Let me go here with you. The scripture talks about a woman who was barren for a long, long time. And so she was barren. Her name was Hannah. And so she would go, you know, once a year with her husband to the temple, and they would offer, you know, their tithes and things like that. Well, she went this time. She left hubby. And she went in and she fell before the altar in her barren state, and she began to pray. And the scripture says that when the prophet saw her praying, she had been praying till she had become into a state so fervently that she looked like she was drunk or something. She was just staggering under the anointing of the Holy Ghost at that altar. And she went with the Lord with everything that was in her. It says, listen, if you, I'm paraphrasing this. If you give me this child, I'll give this child back to you. If you open up my barren womb, I will take the fruit of this womb, the first fruit of this womb, and give it back to you. That's there. What? How does that relate? This woman had hope enough to make that last final, you know, my husband can't do it, but I'm going to take it to the Lord. I'm going to believe God is going to open up my womb. My hope is that God can do it. My hope is that God will do it. My hope is that God is able to do it. My hope is that I will leave this barren state and become a fruitful woman. And so she did not become so discontented and in such a state of despair that she left living and the desire to live, but she remained hopeful even in a barren state till her womb became full of a son. And we know that that son was Samuel. Amen. And so here his mother did not lose all hope. The scripture says that you would not be cut off from it. You would not be cut off. The Proverbs 23 verse 18, there is surely a future hope for you, and your hope would not be what? Cut off. That's there. And so, again, people will continue working and struggling and trying if they have hope. And so Hannah had hope. These 400 men who were when David intersected with their lives and began to build them up before their present state was a state of discontent, a state of indebtedness, a state of discontentment and indebtedness. And so that when we think about what states that we're in just before hope is lost, just before hope is let go of, just before we lose the grip on hope, then we also should equally and more so think about a God that encourages us to hope, that tells us that our hope would not make us shame, to tells us that there's power in us hoping, there's resurrection power in our hoping. The blessed hope is who? Christ Jesus himself. Amen. Because he lives what? We can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all hope is not lost. Amen. Ooh, that's good news. I don't know about you leaders, but encouraging yours, those who you lead, to maintain their hope, to hold on to hope, hope against hope. Listen, don't give up. You may get tired. You may get weary. You may have to cry sometime. You may have to pray longer. You may have to wait longer, but don't give up your hope, and don't take yourself out, and don't take other people out. Get some help. The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there is much safety. So I encourage leaders to understand that they work with, that they team with, to understand the power of generating hope in those that they lead. Well, you talk about it like it's a daily thing, like it's your bread that you have to eat every day. I woke up in hope this morning. At noontime, I exercised my hope. In the mid-afternoon, I exercised my hope. When I was driving home and knowing that there may not be much in the refrigerator or in the stove or in the cupboard for me to prepare, but yet I'm going to take this little cake and I'm going to eat it. I'm going to bless the Lord before I do it, and I'm going to be encouraged that it may be empty today, but tomorrow is a new day. And the Bible said he wakes us up with what? New mercies. When? Every day. You talk about hope like it is an everyday on the menu of our hearts and our minds and our spirit. We will not be discouraged. I'm reminded over in the scripture, thank you, Father, the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, verse 4 through 14. The Bible talks about how he drove them into, and he ordained it, he allowed it, he suffered them, he wanted them to be in Babylon and be in captivity. He needed to deal with them to the places where they realized that their dependency should totally be on him. And so, but in that place of captivity, you go there for yourself, in that place of captivity, he says, listen, I don't want you to diminish, but I want you to increase. I want you to marry and give your daughters and your sons into marriage. I want you to plant gardens. Amen. I want you to harvest. And in this place, I want you to pray for peace. And you will have the peace that you pray for. In other words, God said, even in bondage, hey, Lord have mercy, I can shout on that. Even in bondage, I want you to be fruitful. Even when it feels like your back is up against the wall, I want you to increase. I want to increase your faith, increase your hope, increase your belief, increase your grip. Hold tighter. I want you to plant. I want you to act like you're not even in captivity. I want you to pray for those that are in captivity with you, and I want you to, that peace that you pray for, you get yourself. Don't diminish, but what? Increase. I guess that's the main message that I have today in all the scriptures from Proverbs 23 and 18. There is surely a future and hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Onto that scripture, I want to keep you encouraged with. I want to keep you encouraged with what happened to those indebted men over in 1 Samuel. And I also want to keep you encouraged with what happened to the children of Israel in Jeremiah 29 Jeremiah 29 and 4 to 14. And I also want to encourage you with Hannah. All right? There's power in hope. And you have that power. We have this treasure, what, in earthen vessels. We have this power that is in us. We have, God left us a lifeline. And that lifeline is the hope that is within us that will not make us ashamed, that will give us great reward if we just grip it, hold on to it, believe that it is a life force within us. That's exactly what it is. Hope is a life force working within it. It's like staying plugged into the master no matter what, no matter how strong the storm, no matter how high the mountain, no matter how deep the valley, hold on to the hope line. That hope line connects you to God, to a faithful God, a God who has a plan for you, a God who has planned a future just for you. If you just hold on, hold out. Leaders, drive that home to those that you lead. Hope maketh not ashamed. Hope will not have you to be cut off. Increase. Do not diminish your faith when you are faced with fiery trials. In this life, we're going to have what? Trials, and we're going to have what? Tribulations. But be of good courage. Keep hope what? alive. I know Jesse Jackson said it. Dr. V is echoing it today. The scripture tells us that hope maketh not ashamed. I've enjoyed being with you here today. I'm here with you every other week. Yeah, every 2 weeks on a Thursday. It would be 5 p.m. Central Standard Time here in the state of Texas that I'm residing in now, but all over the world, wherever you're listening, and when, especially when you're listening on Joseph's Network, you're always going to hear something fruitful. You're always going to hear something powerful. You're always going to hear something hopeful. You're always going to hear something infused with the love of God. The Bible says that whatever we do, do it in love. I want to encourage you to love your making. This is Dr. V, and it is my awesome responsibility to encourage you to know always that God loves you and his love is unfailing, and for you to enjoy God being formed in you in the person of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to have a wonderful life and really, really appreciate the power of hope in your life this day. God bless you and I love you.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
This program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Welcome to the Call, a radio show, everyone. This is Benita DeReese. I am so excited to have this platform. I want to, Miss Josie and Kayla Padgett, I want to say thank you guys for allowing us to be on Josie's Inspiration. This is so exciting and so awesome to have a show where we can talk to people all over the world, giving them inspiration, giving them dreams and goals and desires. So again, my name is Benita DeReese. I am the creator Own You. And the reason why I named my radio station Create Your Own You is because I want people to really think about who they are. You know, with today's busy lifestyle, a lot of us get lost, and we're lost, and we just don't know exactly where we should be at or what we should be doing. A lot of us, you know, we have to stop letting others control our destiny or our dreams and our desires. You know, I learned a long time ago, a few years back, but, you know, any of my family members probably can tell you, I use the word no all the time, because if you don't say no to people, it's just like, you know, they're going to call on you every time, and you're going to get stressed out and you're going to get burnt out. And the thing about this radio show being live tonight, I had a whole nother topic to discuss, and that was going to be goal setting. But you know what, like, 3-4 hours ago, something comes tapping me, you know, I'm hearing it in my head saying, no, that's not what you're going to talk about tonight. Tonight, you're going to talk about stress levels, because obviously somebody needs to hear this. You know, a lot of us are very, very stressed out in the things that we are doing. So that's why my show is called Create Your Own You, because I want the energy, you know, that stress level to come down. And reasons why some people are stressed may be because of their jobs. It may be because of their family members. It may be because of the people that they hang with. And stress in itself causes a lot of issues. So I'm going to tell you the story about how actually stress and me becoming an entrepreneur worked hand in hand. And me, you know, with me being an entrepreneur, I needed to figure out where I wanted to be in that arena. And I needed to figure out, you know, if I still wanted to work, if I still wanted to take this journey and just take a leap off of faith and become an entrepreneur. So what ended up happening was I worked for a company years ago, and I worked there for like 7 years. And I love the job because I work with individuals with disability. I have a passion with working with individuals with disability. If people don't, you know, most people know my career has been working with people with various types of disabilities and, you know, autism, MS, multiple sclerosis, learning disabilities, intellectual disabilities. So, you know, those are the areas that I have been working in. And at this particular job, I worked there for like 7 years, and I enjoyed working there. But, you know, and I've always said I'm not going to ever become a manager. You know, it was a group home. I'm never going to become a manager. That's not where I want to be. That's not what I want to do. I don't want to become a manager. I just want to help individuals like I do every day, and that's it. So what ended up happening was a friend of mine who was a manager at this company was like, you know, Vanita, I really need you to take over this house. I know you can run this house. I know you can get it up and running and getting it back to tip-top shape. I know you always said you didn't want to be a manager, but, you know, could you do this favor for me? Now, at that time, I didn't know how to say no. Although in my mind, working that job, I always knew I did not want to be a house manager or a residential manager. I never wanted to be that because he was such a good friend of mine, and him and his wife, you know, they were such good friends of mine. So I was like, you know what, as long as you can guide me and, you know, show me what I need to do for this job and don't leave me and, you know, I got to figure this thing out for myself, okay, I'll apply for this position. Well, I applied for that position. And I got the position without no problems because apparently nobody wanted to take this particular house because it had so much trouble, which caused a lot of stress, okay? So me taking a job, I enjoyed that part. But what ended up happening was this was a position that I took that was an on-call position. It was a salary position. So anybody know anything about salary means you kind of work until you're done. There's no time off. Like, you know, I would go into work at 8 o'clock in the morning, and sometimes I wouldn't leave till like 11 o'clock at night because I was short-staffed. So I had to work that shift too, okay? So then what ended up happening was I ended up working that shift, working those shifts, or I end up coming in the overnight. So if I'm working the overnight, which means I have to stay the next day to do my regular job because it wasn't the overnight person. So it's so much stress in my life that at one point that I wasn't really paying attention to my physical part of me because all my mind is I got to take care of the residents. I got to take care of the residents. I got to make sure they got their medications. I got to make sure they got their food. I got to make sure they have clothes. I got to make sure they have all the proper kitchen equipment, new dining room sets, new carpeting. Like, I wanted their house to be like a house that I would live in. I didn't want it to just look like a generic house. So I transformed the house so it can be like a homey environment. But what ended up happening was me not paying attention to me, my blood pressure was so high that at one day when I was at work, my coworker looked at me and said, Vanita, you need to sit down. I said, why? They said, you look like you're really about to pass out. So I knew something was going on, but I didn't really I didn't really pay attention to it because my focus, again, is making sure my residents were fine. So then what ended up happening was we had blood pressure cups at work, and I felt lightheaded, but I thought I attributed that to me not eating that morning, and I ate a little late. So I felt lightheaded that particular morning, and I took my blood pressure. And honestly, I have no idea why I was not rushed to the ER or was going to the ER, because that's how high my blood pressure was. I end up going home for the day, because I was like, okay, I'm done for the day. I can't handle this no more. I'm just going to go home and relax. When I this was happening frequently. I was doing this frequently, not paying attention, just frequently. My stress level was up. I'm getting, like, I was pulling into the driveway, and immediately, I mean immediately, I could feel my blood pressure. I'm starting to get sluggish. I'm starting to get lethargic. But I'm going into work, still working, because I'm still, you know, I want to help my residents. I want to make sure they're okay. I want to make sure they got their breakfast. I want to send them off the program. And the stress of the job caused me to, at some point, say, okay, this is enough. I end up taking, like, a few days off. And I took those few days off, and what ended up happening is my blood pressure dropped. The stress level dropped. The anxiety dropped. Everything just dropped with me just being off for 3 days of work. I didn't have any blood pressure issues while I was at home relaxing, or if I was at the grocery store or whatever I did on them 3 days while I was off. I was checking my blood pressure while I was at home, and it's regular, 120 over 80, just regular blood pressure. Okay, just regular. So then what ended up happening was I said, okay, I'm going to go back to work. And I'm going to go back and, you know, because I enjoyed the job, I'm going to go back to work. And again, it happened again. I literally, one of my coworkers was like, Vanita, I need you to sit down. You are so pale right now. You're extremely pale. Then, you know, they're running around. They're trying to get water. They're calling the nurse over to make sure I'm okay. And I'm like, you know, I'm fine. I'm doing extra. To me, in my mind, I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me. Again, me trying to, that's how I learned how to say no. And how I end up becoming an entrepreneur, or thinking about it at that time, I was like, okay, I need to figure out what I need to do, because my stress at this job is too high. And they say most people have heart attacks Monday mornings before 8 a.m. If people are having heart attacks Monday morning before 8 a.m., that means that job is not worth it, you know. But we tend to go to our jobs, and we tend to just do our best because that's what we know. We know the job like the back of our hands. We don't want to look for another job. We're content where we're at. We don't want to move further. We don't want to go on that job interview, do an interview with so many, you know, different people. I had to do like 3 interviews just to get that job. So we stay complacent. We stay where we're at. We don't want to do anything different. Needless to say, that job is causing us physical and emotional and psychological damage, because we are there, stressing out about the job. Our blood pressures are going up. You know, we're overweight because now we're using food to be an emotion, because that's the emotional side. Well, let me just eat. I'm going to just eat. And now we're gaining this weight. And we're like, oh, my gosh, now I've gained about 20 pounds. My stress level is extremely high. My anxiety level is extremely high, because this is what happened to me. Like, I gained so much weight working that job that I wasn't, like I said, we are busy. We don't pay attention. And that's just like, even if you in your household, your family members, you're the mom, you're the caretaker of that house, and you're not thinking about it. You're just running the house like a well-oiled machine. Get the kids up. Make sure they fed. Make sure they got their proper clothes on. You go to work. You come home. It might be soccer practice. It might be tap dance. It might be dance lesson. But you're running the kids around, that you're not paying attention to your physical you. And then your physical you starts to deteriorate slowly. And this also, with the blood pressure and things, it also causes other diseases to manifest, because now we're not going to the doctor. We're not making sure we're, as females, we're not getting our yearly mammograms. You know, everything is so focused on maybe your family. Everything is so focused on your job, okay, your job. So for me, I just had to sit back. I had to say, okay, what is it that I need to do in order to get my health back, in order to get my emotional state back, in order to get my physical back? What do I need to do? So at that time, I still was working a job, but what I ended up doing was I said, okay, let me start working out a little bit and trying to eat a little bit healthier. Maybe that will bring down my blood pressure at the time. You know, maybe to bring down my blood pressure. And if it would bring down my blood pressure, I'm like, you know, that was fine for me. But the stress part of it was still there. Go to work, and I would be like, okay, I'm here again. So what ended up happening was we had an audit at this particular house. Now, mind you, I was there for 7 years. I took the manager position, and I did that for a year before I got fired. But it got to a point where I didn't care. And it got to a point, laws work. While I'm at home, instead of me quitting the job and finding another job, in my mind, this is what I was saying to myself every day. I can't wait for them to fire me. Okay, is this the day I'm going to get fired? I wish they'd hurry up and fire me. Why haven't they fired me yet? What they waiting for? Although I'm doing the job I'm supposed to be doing, why haven't they fired me yet? What am I not doing to get fired? So I'm putting this out in the universe, just fire me. So lo and behold, after a while, I get fired from the job. And most people who get fired from a job, they're mad, they spin off, they're erratic that they got fired from the job. They just don't know what to do no more. Like, oh, I got bills to pay. I'm sorry, I got that. Take a sip of water. I got bills to pay. How am I going to pay my bills? You know, and when I got fired, I was like, thank you. Literally, I was like, thank you. And they looked at me, like, that's all you have to say? I was like, yeah. They said, you have no HR person. Like, you have no questions for us? I'm like, I have no questions. They said, you don't want to know why you're getting fired? No, I don't want to know why I'm getting fired. They said, Vanita, why don't you want to know why you're getting fired? You know my question? I said, I do have a question for you. They said, what? I said, you are firing me, right? you are firing me, right? They was like, yes. But what I think they wanted me to do was to come out of character, flip a table, throw a shoe, throw paper around, throw keys and stuff around so I could be escorted out the building. But I wasn't, because I was so thrilled that I was getting fired from the stress level one. And then the HR lady asked me one more time. She said, Vanita, do you understand what's going on? You have no questions for us. Like, before you walk out of here, you have nothing for us. I said, I have absolutely nothing. I said, I'm just going to go. I said, I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for firing me. I just want to thank you, because I wasn't going to do it myself, because I love working with the people at the house. I wasn't going to quit on them. But at the same time, I was quitting on myself because I was not paying to my emotional well-being. I wasn't paying attention to my physical well-being. I wasn't paying attention to me. So, again, I kept telling them, thank you. No, and like she asked me like 5 times, and like on the 5th time, I said, you know what? I have to go now. I have a big party to attend tonight, and I need to go buy shoes for it. They looked at me like, this is the oddest firing process we've ever had, because they never probably had nobody say, thank you for firing me. I was so, you don't even understand. I was so appreciative when they let me go. I didn't know how I was going to pay my bills. I didn't care how I was going to pay my bills. I just knew I was not going to come back to that job the next day and be stressed out again. So I want everyone to pay attention to themselves. I want you to make sure you're getting your physicals. I want to make sure you, you know, working out daily. Do whatever you need to do to get your physical in order. You know, if you need to lose those 20 pounds, if you need to lose those 40 pounds, if your doctor is saying, hey, you're borderline diabetic, or hey, you're borderline blood pressure, because that's what mine told me. Told me both of them. You're borderline diabetic and you're borderline, you know, blood pressure. You're going to need medication if you don't stop on the path that you're on. Okay? Even when the doctor said it, I said, okay, no problem. I got it. But still went to work. But the situation that's causing me to be sick, I'm still going. Because I did not want to give up on the residents in that house. But I love working with the disabled population. That was me. I love it. And to this day, I still work with the disabled population. Not in that sense, but I'm still in working with that population, getting them to be, quote unquote, as normal as we would say. You know, because it's always a stigma on people with disabilities. It's always going to be a stigma. People still look at them when you go to the grocery store, you see somebody on a cane or you see somebody in a wheelchair and they got a colostomy bag or a urine bag. They're still looking at them crazy. But they're lovable people just like we are. And that's why I did not quit that job and I let them fire me. Well, I got fired because I just wasn't paying attention to me. So what I wanted to say to everybody, that honestly was not my topic that I was going to talk about today. I honestly was going to get on here and talk about goal setting because we're still in the new year and it's only the first quarter still, but I guess I'll put that off till February 28th because I think somebody on this line, somebody in the world needed to hear that they're stressed and they need to figure out why are they stressed. You know, like I said, it was placed on me about 3 o'clock today. And I was like, oh, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing that because I already had what I wanted to talk about. I've been preparing what I wanted to talk about for the past 3 weeks. So I knew what I wanted to talk about tonight. But 3 o'clock today, that didn't happen. It kept coming back to me. You need to talk about stress. You need to talk about stress. So I said, okay, I need to pay attention because somebody needs to hear that they are stressed out, and if they don't look at themselves, they're going to be the next one going to the ER for whatever reason that they had, and it could have been a preventable situation. So this is Vanita DeRees. I am on Facebook. My handle is Vanita DeRees. If you have any questions, if you want to ask me anything, just, you know, contact me. I don't mind. I love talking to people. I love reaching out to people. I love to serve people. I love to just help people as much as I can. And if I can't do it, I'm going to find somebody that can do it. I'm going to help, you know. If you feel like you're in that stress situation and you just really need to vent or you really need to talk to me, I have no contact me. I will sit down and talk to you. For whatever reasons, you know, whatever you need help with, or, you know, I'm going to look on the page. If you have a question on Josie's inspiration, if you put a question in there, I'll make sure I'll answer the question. But I feel so relieved that I did this topic of being stressed out because I wanted to help. Obviously, I'm supposed to be helping somebody. I don't know who it is. But I'm supposed to be helping somebody because somebody is stressed. It may not be just somebody. It may be a few people who is listening on this line tonight. So I'm going to say goodnight. I'll be back February 28th, 6:30 again Eastern. I would love for you to get back on the radio to listen to what I have to say. I will be bringing on special guests with different topics. So stay tuned for that. But right now, I am going to say blessings and greetings all over the world. I enjoyed you. I hope you enjoyed me. And I will be talking to you on February 28th. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, wherever you at in the world.
produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
This program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello, and welcome to The Living Room. I'm your host, Juliet Davis, and I am excited to have you with us today. This is our first broadcast on the Josie Hopkins Inspiration Network. If you're looking for a place to be informed and inspired, this is the place for you. Now, I want you to think about your living room, even in your own home. The living room is the place where you welcome your guests, you make them feel at home, and you engage them in intimate conversation. Well, that's what the living room is all about. And we want you to know that our conversations will be both informative and inspirational. Now, my background is in communications, and I'm also a pastor, and I really enjoy talking to people. And whenever I meet someone, as time permits, I like to ask them, how did you get to this point in your career? Or better yet, do you believe that you are doing what you were created to do? Now, I can tell you that I have found some interesting answers to those questions. But I realized something, that everybody in whatever stage or phase you are in your life really wants to know about their purpose. And so if that's you, you're in the right place, because our topic for tonight is the power of purpose. And joining me tonight is a woman who is no stranger to this topic. She's literally traveled around the world mentoring and coaching people to help them to not only discover their gifts and abilities, but to help them walk in their purpose. Apostle Karen Register Vini is uniquely gifted to pull those hidden gifts out of you. And then she helps to nurture you and to develop you so that you can thrive in your purpose. So help me welcome tonight, Apostle Karen. Thank you for joining us, and welcome to the living room.
Thank you, Pastor Juliet. What an awesome, awesome opportunity it is. I congratulate you on this being your inaugural show, and I am looking forward to all God has to say and how many people will really find the connection to their purpose during this broadcast tonight. So thank you for allowing me to come and sharing this special moment in time with you in the living room.
In the living room. Well, come on, get comfortable, kick your shoes off, pull up a chair. We're about to have a really good dialogue about this topic, the power of purpose. So, Apostle Karen, let's start with the basics. How would you define purpose?
I would define purpose as the reason or the basis or justification for something to exist. In other words, it's the objective or the intent for the created matter. It's the purpose, the reason,
it's
the very essence
the
of existence.
Okay. So when you think about a person's life and you're saying, okay, so what is their purpose? I often like to describe it in the form of everyday things because that's, to me, the way people learn the best. So when you think about, for example, your dishwasher, something that we all have in our home or most everyone may have in their home, the way that that dishwasher has been created, it's been made to accommodate washing pots and pans, washing plates, and washing glasses. And you'll notice if you look inside your dishwasher that the place where you put the glasses has been uniquely engineered to do just that, to make it conducive for glasses to get clean. And the bottom half usually is where you put the plates. And same thing, you look at where they're placed in the dishwasher, and it's made to accommodate maximum amount of cleaning for those plates. Well, if man can create something like a dishwasher, then certainly God, who is the master creator, made and created us with an intent and a purpose in mind. And so for that reason, everything about us is tied to our purpose. Would you agree, Apostle Karen?
I would agree. That is so important because a lot of times we will aimlessly kind of move around life and saying, hey, what am I created for? And as you gave the example with the dishwasher, the components have, each of them serve a purpose, and everything in us serves a purpose for why God created us. And if we're going to find our purpose, certainly in the living room of life and the things that we do in living in life, we have to look at every intricate part about our very being, our demeanor, our character, our attitude, our passions, the way we are. All of those things pay very, very close attention. Pay very close attention to all of those things in your life because they're very important to the discovery of purpose. And that thing is not just found in a book. It's not just found in something we hear. It's not in something that we read or someone tells us. You can only find that in the created being. And for that, you really have to spend time with the Creator.
Absolutely. I often say that if you want to know the purpose of a thing, ask the Creator. You know, I remember when I bought my first, I called it my first luxury car. It was an older model Jaguar, and I really loved that car, and it just looked, you know, sleek, and I loved the way it drove. And one of the things that I found out early on is that Jaguar made it their business to customize the features of that car so that you couldn't take it just anywhere to get it repaired. I made the mistake of pulling up to one of your chain retail chain places to get something done to that car, and the mechanic looked at me and laughed and said, ma'am, we can't do anything with this because we don't have Jaguar parts. And so, you know, we don't even have diagnostics to look at a Jag. And I realized then that that is analogous to how God made and created us. And if you want to know how you've been created and what you've been created to do, you really need to ask the Creator. So that's a very powerful point. Now, let's talk a little bit about that discovery stage, because I run into people all the time who say, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know how to find my purpose. And so, Apostle Karen, talk to us about that. How does a person start down that road of discovering or finding their purpose?
Well, the very first thing that you have to do is find your passion, because typically wherever you find the thing that you're most passionate about is where you will find the purpose for which you will serve out and create it to serve out. Let me give you an example. As I was growing up, I always had an issue with things being out of order. If I went into the kitchen and the plastic cup was somewhere where the glass dishes were, it would drive me bonkers if things were just strolled around and there was no order. So I found out at a very early age that I had a gift of administration, which was to structure things and make sure things flowed smoothly. And that really did move and usher me into the greater part of my life, which is my ultimate destiny of being that of an apostle. So you find your passion, and your passion will lead you to your purpose. That thing that really drives you, or that pushes you, or that is really the thing that really gets on your nerves sometimes. And that's the funny thing about it. A lot of times we right. stumble into finding our passion as we find out what really gets on our nerves, what really bothers us. And that's a lot of times where you find, this is where I am most effective, because if I don't like it, I'm going to do everything I can do to make it right, which makes me effectively serving that creative purpose. So I think the very first thing you do is find your passion. And when you find that, you are tapping into some power that will push you into your purpose.
Wow. Well, if you are tweeting, certainly that would be noteworthy. It's something to share, because we are talking about the power of purpose. If you're just joining us, you are welcome. We welcome you to the living room. I'm talking with Apostle Karen Registervini about the power of purpose. And one of the things that you just said that is so key, that I think we often overlook, is that if there is something that really, really bothers you, I mean, something that pushes your buttons and gets under your skin, that too is an indicator of your purpose. I've heard it said that those are the things that you were created to fix or to resolve, and that's why it has that effect on you. So I remember early on, you know, if I saw someone who had trouble expressing themselves, then I would almost put myself in the place of an interpreter, and I would try to get in the middle of a conversation and say, well, no, what the person was trying to say was this or was that. And it's because my purpose was tied to communication. And mm-hmm. I know that communication is derived when understanding is obtained. And I could see from watching that conversation, that understanding was not being achieved. And so I would get in the middle and say, okay, well, no, really what they meant. So I want people to begin to think about, those of you who are in the living room mm-hmm. this evening, I want you to start to think about what pushes your buttons, because that is an yeah. indicator about what you were made and created to do. Well, here's yeah. another way of looking at purpose. And this is from one of my favorite authors, Max Lucado. And he wrote a book entitled The Cure for the Ordinary Life. And the premise behind the book is that once you discover your purpose, your life will no longer be ordinary. And that is so true, because once you start engaging in that thing that you were made and created to do, it's going to ignite some really, really exciting things on the inside of you. You're going to find fulfillment in a way that you have not found it before. But in his book, he says this. He says, God has packed all of our bags. So I want you to think about it from the standpoint of you're going on a journey, and you know where you're going, and so you pack your bag. And he said that the challenge of our lives is that we spend our entire lives really unpacking that bag. But here's the key. He says, when you unpack your bag, you will know where you're going. And boy, that really stuck with me because I have a vivid imagination, and I could just think about the times when I was going on a trip and I knew, you know, that I was going to go swimming, or I knew I was going to work out at the gym. And so in my bag was what? Everything I needed for where I was going. Now, I want you to use that same analogy and think about it from a spiritual perspective, that God has packed your bag. Because why? Because he already knows where you're going. And so when you take the time to unpack your bag, then you'll know, okay, if I have a gift of communication, if I have compassion to deal with people from every walk of life, if I find myself wanting to fix things or to repair things, or I have a unique ability to take what some people call nothing and make it into something, well, I want you to know today that those are the things that are in your bag, and those things are tied to your purpose. So wherever it is that you are going, and we're thinking about going meaning to the place where you will be fulfilling your purpose, then in that place, you will need the very skills that we just talked about a few moments ago. But again, you've got to do some inward thinking and inward inspection, introspection, to begin to assess what's in your bag. What do you think about that, Pastor Karen? What's in your bag?
Awesome. That's awesome, because I was thinking about something that was parallel to that, and that is when you're trying to find your purpose, you have to listen to your heart, and that's the place where we don't seek purpose. You have to listen to your heart, because your heart will speak to you about those things that you love. It will speak to you about the things that are you're more driven to. So a lot of times when we're trying to find purpose, we're looking at for everything on the outside. But we need to listen to our heart. Our heart will direct us into that which we love and that which we are passionate about. And so one of the things that we, I want to put this in a little place, a little compartment, because I was thinking about the heart, but I also thought about how we plan according to what we think we want or what we think is our purpose or what someone has shared with us is. And so I was reading in Proverbs the other day, Proverbs 19:21, and it says, many are the plans in the mind of man, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will stand. So even in our mind and our heart, we can come up with something, but we always have to go back to the maker, as we were talking about. But it starts in our heart. We got to search there. What's your heart saying to you? What's that thing that draws you, that you're so in love with? Because the Bible says that he, God himself, puts the desires in our heart. He gives us the desires in our heart. And that's where our plan and purpose is birthed out of. So I would say, in addition to the wonderful things that we've already shared, is to search and listen to your heart. And that place tell you what God put in there and help you to find that place that will cause you to grow and to thrive and to fulfill all of the things that, listen at this, that you may not even know are within you.
Wow. 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 And that's what I think is so important. And as you talked about listening to our hearts, I thought about how we have had opportunities, even in a volunteer capacity, to do things that we simply love. And although we know that, you know, we have bills to pay and we have things we have to do with our finances, but if you could just pick a thing that you could do, and money was no issue. You didn't have to get paid. Your needs would be met. But this thing gave you such fulfillment that you would love to do it every day, and you would enjoy it. That's the thing that we want you to pay attention to tonight, because that's an indicator of something that you were made and created to do. These are the things that we often overlook. I remember when I was in my first part of my career, right out of college, I actually was a commercial underwriter. And so I worked for an insurance company, and my job was to assess businesses and determine the risk associated with writing the insurance, the commercial insurance for the business. And while it was interesting and I found it intriguing, and certainly the pay was good, especially for a brand new college grad, let me tell you that I started volunteering, working with other college students, helping them to prepare for the transition from college to the world of work. And I did it working with a local association that was tied to a college campus. And I'll never forget it, because I would feel so alive when I left that place. And it would probably be maybe 2 or 3 hours a month that I would go and do this. But it really ignited something within me. And so I began to think about it, so much so that it caused me to figure out, how can I be in a position to do more of that and less of what I'm doing in my day-to-day, 8-hour-a-day job, because I found so much fulfillment from it. And so these are the ways that, you know, I think we get those messages. I call it God tapping you on the shoulder and saying, take a look at this. I have heard countless stories, Apostle Karen, about people who have found themselves in unemployment. And during that phase when they were required to, you know, deal with their situation, they began to do some inward thinking and searching of their heart, and they found something else that they started to do and love, and actually then became business owners. And there were some women most recently that were impacted by the furlough that we had with the government shutdown, and they began to bake, because baking was something that they enjoyed doing, and they later started a business very quickly to help raise some funds because they needed them, but then they tapped into something that they really enjoyed. And so that's what I want to encourage you to do, to think about the things that you really enjoy. Now let's shift gears for just a moment, and I want to talk a little bit about the impact of purpose, or the power of purpose. How does purpose give you power?
I believe that purpose gives you power in that it will push you, it drives you. And when you learn your purpose and find your purpose, you feel like you're unstoppable, because you know that this is the one thing. If I can't do anything else, this thing I can do with my eyes closed. This thing I can do, as you said earlier, if I didn't get paid. So this thing empowers you, impacts you, and pushes you to do more. It's a driving force. Purpose is one thing that can catapult you into a place that you become so powerful in that I'm on my grind. I'm doing what I know I was created to do. And you were sharing just a moment ago about your testimony and how people will find their way in adversity. I believe that creativity is another power source that pushes us to purpose. And then that entails empowers us to stretch out even more. So Juliet wanted to be an attorney. That was my childhood dream, is to go to law school. And I kept saying, Lord, if you just let me go to law school, because I love making sure that the person who is being wrong is being made right, or that they're getting justice. Justice has always been something that I love. And so I realized as I was growing up that I was doing and what I wanted to do and what my purpose and passion was, because I am now ministering the law of Christ from a higher court. So in that, the creativity then became, hey, find another way. Look how you can do this. Reach out and do outreach. Find people who are in need. And those things then gave me the power to stand and say, I am so serving the purpose that's on my life, that if God gives it to me to do, there is nothing that can stop me from doing it. It's the thing that drives you to stand in the place of assurance. That is the power. Purpose. Wow.
Well, we have covered quite a bit of ground in the few moments that we've been together, but I hope you all have been provoked to really take a closer look at the things that are hiding in plain sight. As you look at your lives and the things that you've done, even on a volunteer basis, those are the very things that can be indicators and clues to take you to your purpose. Tonight's show is just the beginning. This is such a broad topic that, you know, we really can't possibly cover it in one show. So I'm going to come back to this topic because I think it will help you to delve in a little bit deeper to some of the other things that we weren't able to cover. But I want you to know tonight that if you want to know more information about purpose, or if you want to reach out to me and let me hear your journey about purpose, I would love to hear from you. And I can be reached in several ways. One is I will certainly give you my email address, which is Destiny, D-E-S-T-I-N-Y, Empower, E-M-P-O-W-E-R, @gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook. You can find me there under Juliet, J-U-L-I-E-T-T-E, Davis. And then on Instagram and Twitter, you can find me under true_journey. We would love to hear from you because I realize that this is a journey that we can learn from one another. And so as you reach out and share, I'll be able to get back in touch with you and we can continue this conversation. I also want to let you know that this show airs every other Thursday night at 7 p.m. So the next show will air on February the 28th, and I would love to have you join me in the living room. We'll be posting information on our social media pages, and I encourage you to share it because this is the place where conversations are life-changing. Thank you so much, Apostle Karen, for joining us tonight. Do you have any closing words that you want to share with us briefly before we go?
Thank you, Pastor Juliet. I just want to say thank you, and I've enjoyed spending time with you on your inaugural broadcast, and I'm certainly believing that those who are the listening audience was truly blessed as a result of being here with us tonight in the living room. I just want to encourage you to continue to search your heart, seek God, and remove all fear. Take the leap and find your purpose. Thank you again, Pastor Juliet. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Apostle Karen, and we look forward to talking with you again in the living room because it's the place where real conversations make a real difference in your life. Looking forward to hearing from you on the 28th of February. And until then, know this, God is with you even in the living room.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
This Valentine's Day.
Are you ready?
Critics are calling What Men Want ridiculously funny.
This is a phenomenon.
Nice.
To Raji P. Henson.
Okay.
Tracy Morgan.
Bring it on in here, player.
What Men Want. Rated R. Now playing.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon. Yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.